This large group of students, comprised of all different races, came together to protest an Asian-themed party thrown by the Kappa Sigma fraternity.
There'll never be an S.A. There'll never be an S.A. You came from a dream, I don't know what's up with me.
Fucking cocks, get in the fucking shower.
Shows fraternity brothers giving the 19-year-old pledge at least 18 drinks of beer, wine, and vodka, all in just an hour and 22 minutes.
Vulgar comments in an area of campus where many freshman women live.
Love means yes, yes means
four young men died from alleged fraternity hazing in 2017. Cell phone video capturing racist and homophobic slurs at parties surfaces every few months. Sexual assault and rape allegations are well documented in fraternity houses across the country. A little bit about myself. My name is Mark Sampson. I am a straight, white guy in a fraternity at Duke University. The problems I mentioned before certainly exist in Greek life at Duke, but at the same time, maybe there are some positive things happening. I spoke with Yash, who is openly gay in an environment that has been, and really still is, incredibly unwelcoming to gay men. Highlights of our conversation follows.
I'm Yash. I'm in Kappa Sigma at Duke University. I joined the fraternity when I got here as a freshman. Have been in various leadership positions ever since. I was social chair sophomore year. Took on the role of president my junior year and have been pretty active and involved with the fraternity ever since I joined.
So you came out after you had already joined your fraternity. What kind of reaction did you get and what kind of reaction were you expecting?
Yeah, so I mean, definitely right before I came out and like until I did it. I mean, I came out when I was abroad, so it wasn't even at a time when I was near people in the fraternity. So I was extremely nervous about people's reactions. Like, I didn't know. I mean, obviously, you know, I had like my close friends in the fraternity that I knew that it wouldn't change anything. And I obviously knew that most people already had an idea and people talked about it. So it wasn't like I'm going to drop this and it's going to be like huge news and they're not going to be friends with me anymore. Like, I knew that that's not what the case, but I thought that there might be some implications to it being public information. And maybe with like other like older guys or guys that I wasn't as close with, I didn't know how they would take it. But I was actually really pleasantly surprised by the reactions. Like, Although not everyone has been, you know, like super vocal about like being supportive of it or like been like, you know, like in, like coming up to me and like talking to me about it. At the end of the day, like I at the same time, I've never had any like salient or really like prominent like negative memory associated with it. Nobody's ever said anything remotely negative to me about it. And I've found myself like when people are, you know, like when I'm not around or like when in the group chat or something, if somebody says like something homophobic or like makes a homophobic comment, it's usually number one, they don't really mean it in the homophobic way. Like, they use a homophobic term, but they don't mean it homophobically, if that makes sense. And number two, it's never ever directed at me. And number three, if I were to like walk in a room or like were to like make a face at someone or were to like say something in the group, me, like, people would apologize. And it's happened.
On that note, I know that homophobic language is still used. I myself have used homophobic language. Sometimes slurs get thrown around in the group chat. But I think overall, you coming out has had a really positive impact on how people choose to speak. Not only when you're around, but also when you are not. Is that something you think about?
Yeah, I think that's something that I'm definitely proud of. And like, I know there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of gay people who, you know, being gay is like one of the main parts of their identity. It's something that they, you know, that they are very aware of and that they always want, you know, want others to be aware of and are trying to constantly be, you know, activists for the gay community. And like, although I do, you know, consider myself a member of the gay community and like very out and proud and all these things, and I definitely do support, you know, like gay rights activism and things like that, I don't see it as my like objective or my goal to like inform everyone about, you know, like the kind of language that they should be using and, you know, like how they should be talking about things. Like, these guys are my friends, and at the end of the day, like, for me, my thing is like, if they're really my friends, then they're not going to use like derogatory language at me, number one, and they'll try their best to cut as much of it out as they can. And so, like, although it's not been my main goal, I'm definitely proud of the fact that it's been a side effect or a product of me being in the fraternity. At the same time, like, I do have conversations with some people, you know, like when I think that they're using some words a lot or like unnecessarily, or that they're just have no regard for it, then of course I'll call them out and be like, you need to relax, or like, you need to reevaluate. And I'm willing to have those conversations with people, but I don't see that as like my first, like, that's not like my goal, you know, it's like change the, and of course it would be an ideal thing to change the culture of fraternities and to like make them less homophobic and all this stuff. But for me, I felt comfortable enough where like, I never feel like anything is directed derogatorily at me, or like, you know, there's a lot of words that like I can think of so many words, like, for example, the R word, like saying retarded, like, or calling someone retarded, like, you're not supposed to say that. Right. It's not a politically correct term. It's in no way, like, it's very derogatory and demeaning towards people who have mental disabilities. But like, I still have a hard time getting that word out of my vocabulary, even though I know that it's not okay to say. And so when I hear people throw around words like faggot and things like that, in a very non-hateful, like non-like derogatory towards actual gay people context, like, just like, you know, like, it's kind of like locker room talk. Like when they're like, just like saying,
I was going to actually use that phrase.
Exactly.
It is like, basically it's locker room.
It's locker room talk. Like when they like, you didn't do this. Like, you're such a faggot. Like, whatever. Like, you're a pussy. Like, things like that. Like,
or even using the word gay.
Or even using the word like, oh, that's so gay. Like, yeah, you're gay. Like, they don't mean what they're saying. You know, like, it's just like a term that's been equated into meaning whatever it means. And so it's, I mean, I've definitely seen the word used in that context. And to be completely honest, like, of course it bothers me a little bit, but it doesn't bother me enough to like have like a strong reaction, if that makes sense. Like, as long as it's not like directed at me, it's not like it's someone being like, you are a something, or like, because I'm gay, calling me something, then it's like, as long as people are making an effort and trying to like tone it down, then there's only so much I can ask. That's what I feel like, at least.
Did you ever have any problems functioning with or perhaps displaying masculinity in your fraternity environment?
More so that I was just like hyper aware of certain things that I just simply don't think about anymore. Like, for example, like, you know, like, should I say this? Like, is it going to make me sound too gay? Like, should I wear this? Is it going to make me look too gay? Like, should I talk to these people? Like, should I, you know, like, should I, when I go out, should I be like trying to hook up with girls just like everyone else is? Or like, or otherwise, are they going to know, you know? So, like, just constantly thinking about things that, like, would make me seem not masculine enough or too feminine or gay or something like that, which are just things that I don't think about anymore. So that's constantly something that I had to think about before I came out. In terms of masculinity, I mean, I think there's, like, varying degrees of it. And that's something that I've found even within the gay world. Like, even within gay men, there is a hierarchy of masculinity within within gay people as well. So it's like this is not a problem that's like a straight gay problem. Like, even in the gay world, gay men who are more masculine are deemed extremely desirable, and gay men who are not masculine are not deemed as desirable. And it's like, there's a very strong imbalance. So like, I don't even know if that's a gay straight thing. I think honestly, fundamentally, that's like a male thing.
It's a male thing.
Like, just exhibiting qualities of masculinity. Like, you could, like, I could be 100% gay, but, like, I still, you know, like, in my own personal experience, like, I still find, like, men who are more masculine much more attractive and desirable than men who aren't. And so maybe that's, like, my own, like, inherent bias against myself. I don't know, you know, but that's definitely something that's real.
How did you feel about some of the more, shall I say, homoerotic activities that exist within fraternity culture?
It kind of almost creates this interesting, you know, like, divide where, like, especially while I was in the closet, like, there, I saw all this, like, kind of homoerotic stuff happening around me, but I was like, but, like, then they, like, say they hate gay people, so, like, I don't get it, you know? So it was just kind of hard, like, I didn't understand. And then also it made me think, like, how much can I, like, participate in these, like, seemingly homoerotic things without, like, it kind of, like, crossing a line. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
No, it's almost like, look at how straight I am.
By showing how gay I am. Exactly. It's like, look how straight I am by participating in these like seemingly homoerotic things. It's like, okay, I'm super straight because I'm comfortable doing this, if that makes sense.
Do you have any issues with how masculinity is displayed within your fraternity?
This rhetoric that is perpetuated within fraternities. And to be completely honest, like, I fall victim to it too, you know, like, even though I'm like a gay man in a fraternity, like, it's the same, it doesn't change the fact that like this culture still exists. Like, with my straight friends, like, I'm like, oh yeah, like go for it, you know, like, and the same thing with my straight friends when they talk to me, they're like, yeah, why aren't you going for that guy? Like, go for, you know, like, it's the same kinds of undertone. So like, it's not a straight gay thing really. It's just like a, I think this issue of masculinity, like we talked about before, I think masculinity is something that defies sexuality. Like, masculinity is, it's a gender thing. Like, it's us as males, as men, we want to display masculinity. It doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, bi, like, what doesn't matter what your sexual identity is. I think it's a product of being a male.
What about the phrase toxic masculinity? Is all masculinity in fraternities toxic, or maybe in general?
The term toxic masculinity refers to the parts that you're referring to as problematic. So yeah, I would agree with you that it is problematic to call all parts of masculinity toxic. But I think when people refer to toxic masculinity, they're referring to the parts that we both agree are problematic. So I think in that sense, I completely agree with you in that there are certain, you know, characteristics of masculinity that it's just, that's inherent, you know, like masculine and feminine, like I don't even know what the word is, but you know, it's like they're masculine and feminine. They're just social constructs that exist. And there's some things, parts of them that are really negative and parts of them that are really positive. And I think toxic masculinity is trying to hit on those really negative things that are perpetuating these things that we know are issues, like rape culture, things like that.
Is it an issue if people are attracted to masculinity?
I don't think that it's bad that certain people are attracted to masculinity. I just think it's something to be aware of and something to know. And I think like there's a difference between being attracted to masculinity versus somebody who may not be as masculine knowing that more people are attracted to masculinity and thus changing who they are or trying to fit this mold of what a masculine person is to be deemed more desirable, if that makes sense. So like, I don't think that like being more masculine is problematic. If you're naturally masculine, that's not problematic, or liking someone that's masculine is not problematic. But I think like this like hypersensationalization of like being masculine is like so desirable, like I will only like hook up with a person that's masculine, or like being masculine is like the most desirable quality, then it puts everybody who's not deemed desirable down a peg, and it makes them feel like they have to be masculine in order to be desirable, in order to be loved, in order to be wanted, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. So I think that is what creates a kind of problematic thing, like that, like this repetition of like being masculine is everything. Like, being masculine is what you should strive for. Like, if you're a man, like, you should be, whether you're gay or straight, like, you should exhibit these masculine qualities because that's what people like. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think it just is, it's detrimental to people who don't fit that. This also definitely plays into, like, within the gay world, like, top-bottom culture, you know? Like, tops are, if you're a top, you're expected to be more masculine. If you're a bottom, maybe you're not expected to be as masculine because it's, like, more okay to be not as masculine if you're not a top. But if you're a top, that's like a kind of an expectation. So that's another added layer of people who, you know, might identify as top, but who may not be as masculine, wanting to like make themselves seem more masculine.
They might not have an avenue to express that.
And they might not have an avenue to express that. It's really difficult to be a really effeminate top in the gay world. It just is.
Yash, you are the president of a fraternity. You are a gay man. The people are wondering, would you do it all again?
I would do it all again, but this time I would come out from the start. And I wonder, what I wonder is if my outcomes in the fraternity would have been the same. Not only if I'd come out earlier on, but if I'd come out before I rushed. At the end of the day, I'm extremely happy with the way my college career has turned out. I definitely do wish that I'd come out earlier, but at the same time, I think I needed those years to really become sure of myself and like gain the confidence that I needed to come out and be okay with it. And so, yeah, I definitely think I would do it all over again.
Overall, how do you feel about Greek life at Duke?
Duke is a very special place in terms of Greek life, at least. I feel like compared to other universities, it's arguably one of the more inclusive universities. I know another president of another fraternity who's openly gay at school, at Duke. That's just one example of a president of another fraternity that's a gay. I know at least one openly gay or bi person in almost every single fraternity. I think almost all, yeah. Almost all the fraternities that I can think of, I either know someone in it currently or who has been in it, who's been openly gay or bisexual. So,
and well accepted, like popular.
And well accepted and well assimilated into the group and had no issues because of it. And so I think that's pretty rare. And I think there's a very clear divide between schools like ours and then more like states, like bigger state schools like University of Michigan, University of South Carolina, all the schools we talked about. And so I think that the point that you brought up of kind of changing attitudes there, I think, you know, it's great that we can talk about, you know, the situation at this school and how it can be improved, because it always can be.
Sure.
But I think that a really more interesting and important question is, how can the cultures be changed at schools like those, where it's like really, really like this, like kind of homophobia and anti-gay
racist,
culture,
sexist,
racist,
yeah.
sexist, all these kind of sentiments are really ingrained, like deeply ingrained.
I don't think anybody expects all the issues we discussed to be fixed overnight, in 5 years, or even in 10 years. But maybe there will be a time when Greek life can exist and not be a weekly feature on CNN or in The Chronicle.